Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, as most of us are aware, the EMV conversion deadline for fuel stations has been delayed again until April of 2021. Now, at the time of recording this, with around 9 months left, owners and operators should take the opportunity to convert now, given the downturn in traffic due to COVID-19. But for those who are willing to take the risk and delay or not complete the conversion, we have some really bad news for you that we're going to be talking about on today's episode. So to talk about the ROI of the EMV conversion at the pump, I have Brian Ducharme, who is the VP of Product Management at Transaction Network Services, and Tim Sloan, who is the VP of Payments Innovation at Mercator Advisor Group. Now, there's certainly a lot to unpack during today's episode, so without any further delays, let's start the show.
So, Brian and Tim, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode, where we're taking at the looming EMV requirement at the pumps here that's supposed to take effect in April 2021. So now, Brian, I'd really like to start with you here. And I think you've got some really interesting data surrounding this whole conversion here. But do you think that a lot of owners or operators haven't upgraded to EMV? And if so, why not?
Hi, Ryan. Thanks for the question. I guess the short answer is yes, but the best insight that we've been able to point to is the good work that Kinexys has done or did last summer in Time for Max in Atlanta. Their study showed that 70% of those surveyed said they had not yet upgraded to EMV, but about 80% of them intended to upgrade. The interesting part is that in those stats, 4 in 10 said economics was the reason why they hadn't upgraded yet. And then lastly, a third of them said that they didn't see how, you know, they would recoup the investment. Now, interestingly, one of the additional data points in the study showed that 38% of them said that their fuel brand are requiring their dealers to upgrade to EMV. So the fact that they haven't done it yet is good news for all those who are trying to support them, like TNS, but the time is now.
Yeah, so I totally agree, Brian. You know, right now, Mercator research indicates that almost 70% of physical storefronts have implemented EMV. And as it rolls out more to more locations, those criminals are gonna shift their effort to utilize counterfeit cards at those that are not EMV compliant. And so we'll see a concentration if they don't start to think about getting EMV deployed.
Now, Brian, you brought up an interesting stat there that honestly, I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit about it here, right? You brought up that 4 in 10 really say that it's the economics of switching over there. But when you think about the cost of not upgrading, you kind of have to sit there and say, well, why are 4 in 10 really think the economics of not being able to afford it kind of outweigh, you know, it's kind of a risk and return here. But I'd love to get from your perspective, why should owners and operators really upgrade to EMV?
Yeah, thanks. I mean, first and foremost, you know, I have to provide a TNS perspective. And as a global payment technology enabler, we have been through EMV migrations before around the world, beginning in Australia and then in Europe and other places. So the benefits of having chip at the pump are that the fraudsters who were here pre-EMV in 2015, before the U.S. decided to make this move, are still committing fraud in 2020. They haven't gone away. So even though less gas is being sold, you know, than last summer because of COVID and the year that we'll always remember, we know that the market will eventually recover, which means that while the liability costs right now might not be high, that they're relatively small, this is an anomaly. What's more important here is that customers, more services, more buying options are being enabled at the pump. The size of the purchase is not just the cost of fuel, which is historically a low margin item, but the cost of food, drinks, and other goods. Cross-selling at the pump has been going on for several years. So when you upgrade your fuel dispenser to an EMV reader, oftentimes you're also upgrading the screens and functionality that helps consumers experience something different at the pump. So to that extent, last fall, TNS conducted some consumer research that where we asked customers how they felt about getting added services or purchased different things at the pump. Of course, back then we didn't have COVID in our mindset. So the delivery services that we're now seeing in the last few months, you know, non-contact and contactless pickup are becoming a much bigger deal. But in many ways, the survey discerned consumer attitude. The net is that consumers do want to do more things at the pump. They want to save more time and pre-staging a transaction for possibly food in the store will help reduce the cost of the EMV upgrade if the only thing you're measuring is the cost of gas and gas margin.
And, you know, if you look at what COVID has done to transactions for petroleum in general, you see a huge drop, which would also suggest this would be the time. If you're going to have to go offline for any period of time, you're going to minimize your loss of transactions if you do it now.
I totally agree, Tim. We're seeing it not only in POS and at the fuel dispenser, we're seeing it in ATM. For TNS, we're actually seeing a lot of orders that have to do with upgrading and modernization around the world. So retailers and merchants are taking advantage of the downtime, not that they wanted the downtime, but those who can take advantage of this lull while consumers have had to stay away is a bonus. So again, getting in the queue of an installer is probably the best thing you could do this summer if you're a fuel retailer.
Yeah, one of the things that I certainly find very interesting around this whole thing, Brian, because I kind of want to bring up something that you had spoken to in just in terms of fraudsters obviously haven't gone away from it, but quite frankly, they've honestly just gotten more complex, really. They've kind of turned themselves into a business with different business roles within them for it. And I certainly think that EMV, the conversion at the pump, is certainly a very interesting. It's going to be kind of a calling card for fraudsters, right? Because it's very obvious of who has converted and who hasn't. And where the liability shift is also going to be put into place there, where it's now on the merchants, you'd have to think that then in a fraudster's mind, that they're going to turn around and sit there and go, well, the risk is a lot lower because I don't have to worry about the processors, the gateways, the networks, or anything like that coming after me, because they say, well, merchant, the liability is on you. So the merchant's not necessarily going to have the funds or the technology to be able to go after the fraudsters at the rate and veracity that some of the other people that were protecting the merchants before were able to do. So I certainly think that's an interesting standpoint there. But do you think that the owners and operators believe that the cost of their business with the liability is going to be substantial? Or do you think that they kind of look at this and say, well, you know, I think I'm only going to have minimal fraud here, so the risk is going to be worth it?
Yeah, I would say that some certainly have held that position for the last 5 years since EMV was announced for the U.S. But, you know, the reality is that the dark web is more sophisticated, and you're right, it is a large business. It's a $60 billion business. You know, a few years ago, a stolen card number was worth $10 or $20. Today, it's worth, you know, less than that. It's less than a dollar, about 80 cents, because they're so easy to gather up on the remaining POS terminals that are not enabled with EMV. So to that, we've had, you know, we were having discussions with Tim, and we asked him if he had an idea of what the cost would be to some of the jobbers and operators. And I had a hard time finding reliable data outside of the Kinexys data that really sized the cost of the true liability. So the more Tim and I were discussing this, the more we realized that there was a problem, and we needed to find the calculation and then share that with the owner operator. Tim's sizing is notably conservative, and he's done a lot of, you know, investigation based on some key facts, as well as drawing up his experience in EMV deployments and all that's been going on the last 5 years around the migration. So we believe that Tim's numbers is the first time that anyone has insight into the segment, has looked at the numbers, and can offer up a true business impact to the owner-operator. And quite frankly, it's significant. So we're pleased that we're finally getting to a number that can resonate with an owner about the true risk here.
Yes. And so to be honest, I was surprised at the potential size of fraud risk gas stations might actually confront. This isn't a drop in the bucket. The risk, of course, depends on a range of factors, such as the number of locations where those locations are. But when the liability shift occurs, and operators and owners need to pay for the fraud that took place at their locations, that cost becomes really serious. For example, when an owner operator has 12 stations in a mix of locations, both high and fraud, low fraud areas, the cost could be more than $200,000 in just 1 year. These costs include chargebacks, product loss, network non-compliance assessment fees, and this doesn't include the costs associated with review fees required to exit a non-compliance program. So all of these fees really add up. Equally important is to recognize that it's highly likely fraud's going to increase over time. As more locations implement EMV-capable payment acceptance, fraudsters just naturally gravitate to the locations that are easiest to use counterfeit cards, and that's going to be your stations if you haven't implemented EMV.
Yeah, I certainly think that's really interesting. I mean, it almost is kind of a little bit just like I was saying before, just it's somewhat obvious. I mean, fraudsters themselves aren't going away. They're obviously, like I said, they're a business. Their job is to be able to get revenue from this. And this seeing that particular merchants aren't going to be upgrading to EMV really kind of just proposes themselves as an opportunity. It really is kind of a target on their back, so to speak, by not implementing this. But I'd kind of like to take a look at just the deadline itself here, right? So EMV at the pump has had its deadline moved kind of a couple of times here from it. So I think that there's a couple of things that are playing into factor here, and I'd love to get your take on them, Brian. First being obviously COVID-19. What kind of impact do you see COVID-19 really having in terms of an impact of this requirement? And do you think that really moving from the previous deadline to now the April 2021 deadline really just kind of postpones the inevitable of what's going to be happening here? Or do you really think that the owners and operators are really just, they're looking at that deadline and they're kind of going, well, great, we're going to blow by that deadline anyways too and just not make the EMV investment?
Yeah, I think, first and foremost, you have to go back to the five-year mark when the EMV migration was originally announced. And the reason for the extension for AFD's original rationale was that it wasn't just the payments module for the pump, but in some cases, and in many places in the country, it's the pump itself and the underlying secure communications that's required to keep that entire collection of systems safe and secure. So the original rationale that it was complex and there would be more time needed to make it all work certainly made a lot of sense. Now, of course, becomes an outlier problem. So I think that's, you know, that the easy answer today, you know, when you look at the survey and it showed that 80% of the respondents said that they were planning on doing it at some point, the challenge here is that there are always going to be market disruptions. How soon this will happen is something that we'll continue to watch. And again, from CNS's place in the market, it's critical that we understand where owners and operators are coming from. I think pushing the liability further is just pushing the can down the road. Really. I mean, that's why Tim's liability sizing is so important. If we can help answer this economic question with solid data, I think we're going to help businesses make that tough decision. So the fact that they haven't figured out or laid out, you know, where exactly they should go is something that, you know, we want to support. So more importantly, we here at TNS think, you know, the advantages of an EMV upgrade sooner rather than later far outweigh delaying. So consumers have come to expect chip and chip readers during daily use of their credit and debit card at the point of sale in almost every major and small retailer. So at the counter, it's second nature. And with chip readers come contactless. So it's a hand in hand. And as COVID continues to change our habits, migrating to EMV means that you can be chip enabled with the right specification that's based on EMV. So the confusion of some and those who don't will create some attrition of users. I myself had a recent experience where I pulled up to a pump here in Florida, and by golly, you know, I consider myself a payments expert, but I could not figure out if this pump, although it had a DIP reader, was in fact EMV enabled. And after three strikes, I almost got into the car and drove off to the next pump, but it didn't. So at the end of the day, even without the liability shift, the added security, the ability to do contactless, and the ability to leverage a better screen and more commerce, I think it's going to offer more options at the pump, and it's going to generate revenue and a revenue-generating proposition for the owner-operator. So there is no need to wait and be the last guy standing for thoughts to come. When I was at Star Network, and I led product there, we used to say that the best thing that could happen for a fuel retailer is a payday that was that involved rain, because fraudsters hate to work in the rain. So all of the cards that were being used on that payday typically would be a full tank of gas. You ended up with less fraud happening on those things. So unfortunately, we can't expect that every day is going to be a rainy day. So I say we should get on with it and close the loopholes for fraudsters.
As I think about the other approach, to do nothing is basically Russian roulette. It will have a lot to do with whether criminals find your location. And if they do, you're going to be taken to the cleaners and lose far more money than had you upgraded. The other approach is just to manage the fraud. Turn off the pump, require them to come into the station. You know perfectly well that means they're going to drive right by your station. So you don't want to control fraud that way. You could man people at the pumps and try to control fraud that way. But again, your costs go way up. So when you look at it from the perspective of, I don't have to increase my operating costs, I prevent fraud from occurring, and I have the opportunity to drive more traffic inside or to introduce new products and services at the pump, such as we bring you your coffee in the morning, there's that opportunity to generate additional revenue, which I think far outweighs all the concerns about the cost of upgrading the pump. And believe me, I recognize the cost. I was talking to a major petroleum company, and they said that their estimate, and this was 3 years ago, I think, was about $6,000 per pump. So I know it's not cheap, and I think that was lowballing it. But I still think that when you look at it in the longer term, you're going to be able to prevent fraud from happening and get rid of the Russian roulette syndrome and be able to drive substantial new business if it's done correctly.
Yeah, agreed, Tim. And I think, you know, one reference point for owner operators who are, you know, on the fence and trying to come to the realization, you know, one area that I always think of is I'm a big Hilton Hotels customer. I've been an Honors customer for 20 years now, And when Hilton first introduced LED lighting, you know, it was after a great internal debate about, you know, should we spend a lot of money doing the upgrade for the eventual lower cost in operating the location. And that's always been the challenge for a fuel convenience retailer as far back as the 90s when I was running a gas station in college. So it is an infrastructure upgrade. And even aside from the liability shift, it's what consumers have come to expect. It's good hygiene. It makes a transaction secure. It takes the target off your back from a location point of view. So when you add it all up, it's the best thing to do for the long haul of a location.
Yep. And right about now, they could get both the dip and the contactless embedded into the same device, which would give them an advantage over competitive gas stations that haven't yet gotten contactless.
Yeah, now, Brian, one more question before we wrap things up here, right? So, let's say I'm a merchant that has pumps there, and I've determined, yes, I do need to convert to EMV. Why in particular should I pick up the phone and call TNS to make this happen for me?
You know, TNS is a global leader in secure communications. We provide and have been providing connectivity services to the fuel industry on three continents for years. So we are a trusted, reliable provider. And we take the complexity out of connecting sensitive equipment around that are required to make a secure transaction happen. So, our claim to fame has always been making the complex simple, and we're doing that today in retail and specifically in the fuel sector. So, happy to help customers work through the challenge and work with their installer base to make the upgrade simple and easy.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Brian and Tim, for taking the time today for speaking to me about the EMV conversion pump process, and I hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thanks, Ryan.